okay? Don't be an idiot with your credit card on there, but that's an option now, okay? And last thing, tonight, 5:45, we'll meet in the elevator room and pray. If that's too early for you, at 6:30 tonight, we'll have dinner and youth service tonight. You are all welcome to that. Caleb and Deborah are always stressing that. We want lots of adults on Sunday nights with our kids, okay? So, I hope you had a blessed week last week with John and Kenzie. Did you guys, if you were here last week, John and Kenzie shared God's heart for the orphans, what he's doing with the house of prayer. God has attached his name to the orphan, okay? That's who he said, those are mine, and so we want to continue praying for them. This week, we'll continue in Philippians. Probably have three more. Are you sick of Philippians? Hope not. Good. I don't care if you are. We have three more Sundays of it, and then we'll ask the Lord, you know, where we should go next, what we should do next. And so let's read this morning, Philippians. Go to Philippians 4. Read 4 through 9. Back up a little bit. Paul from prison writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, finally, because he's getting to the end. "Brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." This is awesome. This is awesome. Let's pray. Father, these are our glorious, massive promises in your word that you've made here, that we're going to call you out on this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help us grab on to these this morning. Grab on to this morning. Jesus, thank you for making a way this morning for us. God, for those who are beaten down. God, those who are broken, not good enough, not smart enough. You made a way for us this morning. And we are grateful and thankful. So shine light on your word this morning. Open up our eyes that we would see wonderful things from your law this morning. In the name of Jesus, everyone said,
amen.
Amen. All right, so if you paid attention, it's fine if you didn't. You notice that we went back to verse 4 before 8 and 9. And the reason is that they're part of one thought. And so as a preacher, I want to give the full thought so we get the full joy. Right? I mean, that's what we're after here. We don't want halfway joy in God. If there's more, we want all of it. So before we get to 8 and 9, let's go back to verse 4, to the launching pad for this. Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord." Again, always, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known. The Lord is at hand. So here's Paul telling this church, saying, here's the Lord. He's close. He's near. He's pursuing. Before you even arrived, he was there. So rejoice, right? This is an announcement. The Lord is at hand. This is news, not giving advice here, giving news. The Lord is at hand. So rejoice. Then into verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." So again, Paul gives news. He gives an announcement that the peace of God is here. Okay? This is true. This is a reality that as you bring your fears, hopes, worries, sin to the Lord, he's there. Okay? Guarding your heart and mind. He's a strong tower around them, and nothing can get through the Lord. Okay? So the gospel is the point here. In front of what is in front of it and behind, okay, and enclosed in what's required of us here, prayer and supplication, you have the gospel covering both of them, the announcement of how God has acted and how God has promised to act. So everything that we're about to read this morning in verses 8 and 9 is, again, enclosed, encircled, covered in the gospel, okay? And it's crucial that we get that so we don't waste our time this morning, okay? It's really important that we understand that, because it'd be really easy for me to take verses 8 and 9, okay, and list what is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, and say, okay, church, think about these things, think like this, don't think like this, and not give any hope of what Christ has done. It'd be so easy and pointless, okay? I could list them, I could say, do this, and be done, and we would all feel like miserable failures because we missed the mark so much in how we think. And I am going to do that. I think that's what the text says, but we cannot rush into what we are to do before we have a happy confidence in what He has done. Okay? That's the point. So, verse 8. Are we clear on that? He's going to say to do something here, but all the do is covered in Christ done. Okay? That's important. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So Paul's ending the letter in prison, writing to the church, longing for the church, chapter 1, and he begins to slow his roll here. He's like, okay, I have to end this. Finally, what can I say to them? How can I end this letter that I've written well? And so he covers all that he's talked about. The heart of Jesus for the church, the hope of resurrection for the church, this to live as Christ, to die as gain mentality, a lifestyle of the church, the sacrificial, humble love exhibited in Christ for his people, the incarnation, God becoming man, the plan for discipleship. He says, imitate me as I imitate Jesus, the church's heavenly citizenship. Last 2 weeks ago, most recently, the promise of peace, the promise of the peace of God in the place of prayer. And Paul says, finally, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And so Paul, what he's doing this morning is pointing to the intellect, right? Pointing to the brain, to your thought life. Paul's describing a renewed mind. He says, think. Give mental energy to these things. Why? Because if you think on these things, things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, if you think on these things, they lead you to the person that they flow from. Okay? They lead you to Jesus. That's the point. So this is not about the power of positive thinking, okay, or mind over matter gobbledygook. It's not what this is. Okay? This is Jesus. A real person, okay, who these things flow from. And so the mind matters. Your mind matters. You were given a mind to worship the Lord with it. And Paul knows, as your mind goes, so will your heart, okay? And Christianity is a heart religion. That's why it sings so much, okay? If it wasn't a heart religion, it wouldn't sing. But heart religion sings. But more often than not, our heart is affected by our minds. And so if our desire is to love the Lord with all of our heart, we also need to love Him with all of our mind. These things Paul lists for us to think on point to Jesus. All about Jesus. That's the deal. John Phillips writes, Paul was challenging us to think on, to think out, to take account of things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. And where will such thoughts lead us? To Jesus. In Him, all these abstracts are translated into a warm and wonderful personality, a noble and inspiring person. Okay? Jesus is the point. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to give a quick outline of what the rest of this morning is going to look like. So an outline of the sermon would look like this, okay? Verse 4, you'd have rejoice, okay? So point 1, you'd have rejoice. And then the parentheses right next to it, you'd have gospel, okay? You got that? Rejoice, that's what I'm saying, gospel. Then you got think, then you got do, then you got peace, and in parentheses, gospel there. See that? So we've got gospel, think, do, gospel. And I already dealt with the first gospel announcement from Paul, verses 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is at hand. Here's what God has done. And then we move into this next part where you actually do something. Think and practice. And how you think determines what you practice. Okay, you act based on how you think. You act based on how you believe. That's why we pray so much. I mean, that's why we take, I've said this before and I'll say it till I'm dead. We take time in the service to pray because we don't think we can accomplish anything good without God. So we're going to give 10 minutes on Sunday and ask Him. Three ways of thinking for the Christian. And so what I'm going to do is list these three ways of thinking and then show how they lead to three ways of practicing. So what does our text say? Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So there's the thinking after the gospel. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. There's the practice, do. And the God of peace will be with you. So there's the gospel again, okay? The outworking of the thought and practice, God's promise, God's guarantee of what He will do. Paul gives the good, right, the positive spin of the thinking and the practice first, but I'll deal with that last because we'll come to the good news of the table last. But first, we'll look at two negative connotations of thinking, and those two bad ways of thinking are first is non-thinking, okay, and second would be sinful thinking. So the first way of thinking is thinking about nothing. And I think this, not thinking, is the most dangerous, most damaging, and the largest indictment on the church in the West, okay? Because no one is propped up better to think about nothing than we are. Okay? I mean, I think in not engaging our minds at all, we are exactly where Satan wants us to be. And you can disagree with me here, but I think it's far more dangerous to fill our minds with light, trivial, small nothingness than to fill it with wicked and evil things. The reason for that, C.S. Lewis said, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts, right? Not thinking gradually leads to hell. Not thinking is the frog in boiling water. As you heard the old wives' tale, if you put the frog in a pot and you slowly turn it up, eventually it'll boil, okay? I don't know if that's true, but you get it. I think that's more dangerous, okay? When I was a slave to pornography, I knew it was bad, okay? That would be bad thinking. We'll get to that. I knew it was bad. I hated it. I knew God hated it. I hated what it did to me, to my friendships, to my prayer, to my worship. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. And just a side note this morning, church is a safe place to confess sin, okay? Because we believe the gospel and we believe that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, this is a safe place. You're not going to scare Jesus away this morning. He'll just go, whoa, hadn't heard that one before. That won't happen, okay? I know it's funny, but that's real, okay? This is 1 John, this is 1 James. We confess our sin to one another. He's faithful and just to forgive us, okay? So you're safe here, okay? You're not going to freak us out. You're not going to freak Jesus out, okay? Back to that. Because I hated it, there was a passion and burning in me to fight it, right? To get vicious with it, to wage war. And this is not the case with non-thinking, okay? Because we're just slowly boiling. It doesn't hurt instantly like the sinful thinking. The grip of watching hours of television aimlessly scrolling through our news feeds and our computers or phones and giving much mental of our mental energy to which celebrity's dating who or which free agent ended up where is far more dangerous, I think. In thinking about nothing, we aren't thinking about that which is wicked and evil, which that's good. But we're also not looking at Jesus and savoring Christ. We're numb. So these aren't bad thoughts. These are non-thoughts. Okay? You're just numb. You're just there. And as one who loves television, loves movies, loves sports, I find my thoughts so often not focused on the beauty of Jesus, not focused on the wiles of the devil, but they're just not anywhere. I'm just a vegetable not thinking about anything. And it's numbing. It's as if this non-thinking is the pill the enemy has slipped into the drinking water, making us vegetables, right? Not sad, not happy, just not anything, just there. And so if we follow Paul's thought here, right, the gospel, think, practice, peace, if we, you know, take out the gospel here, if it's just think, practice, and peace, if we think about nothing, right, we practice nothing, and our peace is nothing. It's not there. The Christian who thinks about nothing will practice nothing, and the peace of God will not be with them. And this is terrifying for churches. This is terrifying. Very scary stuff. Churches that think about nothing do nothing. Right? Become social clubs, have social events. They simply exist week to week, year to year. And then they die and no one notices they were gone. Okay? You know, churches in persecuted countries aren't thinking about nothing. Right? Their thoughts for survival are clinging to Jesus. But we're so propped up in our excess and our wealth that we're okay to think about nothing. Okay? This is scary for an American church. If there's not a significant hole in the community when a church dies, that tells you that that church had small thoughts about Jesus, non-thoughts about Jesus, and therefore practiced nothing concerning Jesus. Right? If Christian Life Church shut down and ceased to exist, there should be a big, massive hole in the community. Okay? This is the danger of not thinking. Okay? Of filling our minds with nothing. We become a useless limb in the body of Christ. So to fight this, we repent. Okay? Repentance is not a bad word. It's a very good thing. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. So if you're repenting, you have encountered God's kindness. It's good news. Okay? We repent. We respond to the kindness of God. We fast from our phones and web connection. We put limits on our media intake. Guys, I'm not saying never ever watch TV again, okay? I'm just saying watch it, okay? Say, how long have I been thinking about nothing? So I'm pointing fingers this morning. There's many pointing back at myself. I'm glad my mom isn't here this morning. They are on their 35th anniversary trip. I don't know what they're doing. They're gone though. So I was talking to Sierra about this last night. I look at this in my own marriage. Okay, it wasn't my dream. So college age Josh, like, saying, okay, I want to think big thoughts about what God might do with my life. One of those big thoughts wasn't going to sleep every night. And last thing Sierra and I do before we go to sleep is scrolling through nothing on our phones. Okay, that just wasn't part of the plan, was it? I mean, you were like, oh, I can't wait. You know, that wasn't. It was my dream that we would end our day in prayer. Okay, first with each other, and then someday with our children, and then someday maybe they'd bring grandchildren over. We could pray with them. Okay, that's a real big thought. Okay, that's not a non-thought. That's not a little thought. That's a big, lofty dream. And big, lofty dreams come from big, lofty thoughts. And big, lofty thoughts, Paul said, lead to big, lofty practices. And this leads to the big, lofty peace of God. Okay? So if you think nothing, you do nothing. There is no peace. So again, we repent. Okay? I can tell, depending on how you use the word good, I can tell if it's going to be a good sermon on Sunday if as I'm writing it, I'm saying, oh Lord, oh God, forgive me, I repent. Okay, that means you're doing something. So if on Sunday morning I'm preaching and you're repenting, that's good. Good churches are good repenters. We just say, oh Jesus, all the time. That's good. We repent, press delete on our sin of not thinking and filling our minds with the numbness and nothingness that the world offers, and we sign up again and say, yes. Okay? And follow the Lamb wherever He goes, first in our thinking. Okay? And I think not thinking is the most dangerous thing for American Western churches. Because we're not in this hard tension that they are in other parts of the world. We can get by with not thinking. Okay? But we want to think big thoughts about Jesus, and then we want to practice big things with Jesus, and we know the peace of God will be with us. So I get to that at the end. Okay, so the first, maybe less obvious way of thinking is not thinking. That leads to non-practice, that leads to non-peace. The second, more obvious, is sinful thinking, right? I mean, this is what we would normally, or what I would normally do is I would take verses 8 and 9, take the thing, you know, true, lovely, honorable, and say, okay, here's things that aren't. Don't do these things. That's the more obvious. That leads to, so sinful thinking leads to sinful practice, and that leads to, again, no peace, right? You become what you behold, right? You take on the appearance of that which you look at. That's why we want to pray, again. We want to look at Jesus a lot and become like him. So, if we set our minds on what is not true, what is not honorable, what is not pure, what is not lovely, what is not commendable, what is not worthy of praise, then we become like those things, right? Think, practice, do. No peace. This is why the internet is a scary place, especially in an election year. Speaking of repenting, y'all need to get on it, all right? If our eyes, what we're looking at and thinking are constantly engaged by the angry, violent mob psychology of what's being written in our news feeds, we become angry, violent, and mob-like, okay? And not Christ-like. What you look at dominates your mind. What dominates your mind dominates your heart. What dominates your heart dominates your life. Okay, so I could just speak to our young people this morning, endlessly scrolling through the pettiness and fighting and name-calling, hatefulness, gossip that exists in Twitter land. Okay, there's a land called Twitter. Okay, stay away. All right. If you are always looking at that, it will affect you. Okay, you are not above it touching you deeply. You're not like, I'm immune, I took my shot, it can't get me. That's just not true. And I know talking about Twitter sounds so small and silly and trite, but I promise you, you become what you behold. What you are looking at, that's what you are becoming. And so we've prayed this, we've spoken this over you, believe this, that the lazy, nasal-gaving, self-loving, disrespectful, petty narrative of our teens will not get the last word on God's church. Okay? That won't be how the story ends. Rather, they will be self-giving, God-fearing, spirit-empowered radicals who give themselves for the worthy cause of Christ being seen as beautiful in the world. That's what we believe, okay? That's the narrative, that's the story that we want to tell. And that happens from a deep peace from God. And this deep peace from God happens when our thoughts are trained, set on him, the one who is true, the one who is honorable, the one who is just, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. No one is that except Jesus. Amen. So your thoughts matter. And so I don't want to yell at you this morning. I'm just saying we believe that it's going to be different. We believe, we are so confident in what the Lord's doing with you. So sinful thinking, where we're at now, is quite obvious, right? Thinking about things that are not beautiful as Christ is beautiful. Thinking about things that are not compelling as Christ is compelling. Thinking about what is sinful, bigotry, hate, slander, gossip. Thinking on these things causes us to practice these things, right? I don't know, I might be the only one, but where you have an issue, you have a problem with someone, and you have this whole argument hashed out in your head line by line. Right, you're going to say this, you know what they're going to say, and you've already got like 6 comebacks for it, okay? And that's just dwelling and rolling. No? Okay. Just me. That causes you to practice these things. And so as a church, if our thoughts, same thing, this is like a super simple message this morning. If our thoughts are on what is sinful, then we will practice sin. And if we practice sin, 1 John, we are not of God. If we are not of God, we will not have peace. If I could pick on a particular church sin, it's gossip and cynicism, y'all. If we are thinking and setting on the front of our minds how short people fall of what we expect them to be, what they should be, how they should perform, right? Our hearts towards our fellow members become dark, hard, and bitter. Right? We start to think about all the ways that they're not as awesome as we think they should be. When we see them, that's going to come out. It's going to be real. Think, practice, peace. Okay? These are our thoughts. They will come out in practice, and there will be no peace. And so a church that talks about itself in non-redemptive, non-constructive language will crash and burn, and the whole community sees it, and the name of Jesus is made a mockery. Okay, that's what's at stake here with our mind, is the name of Jesus being renowned in the nations. Because he's doing it through the church. And if the church is doing that, the world sees that. Think, practice peace. And so, same thing, guys, we repent. We turn, we embrace God's kindness, sign up again, say yes, and follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Okay? That's good news. It's good news, not bad news. The church that thinks about nothing, does nothing, has no peace. The church that thinks about sin, sins, and has no peace. But God is so kind. So kind that the church that thinks on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, if anything's worthy of praise, they think about these things, what they have learned and received and heard and seen, and they practice these things, the God of peace is with them. That's awesome. That's awesome, okay? I would just say go home today after your nap or whatever, or before your nap. You might sleep better if you do it before. And just read 8 and 9 and go, that is awesome. And just sit there for a little bit. Look at it again. That is awesome. Wow, that's something, Lord. Remember the outline. Gospel, think, practice, gospel. It's enclosed in here what God has done and what God will do. Okay? That's the point. If we just have these two middle ones, we're miserable. We're failures. We don't make it. We start shouting at each other. It's not good. Okay? We're surrounded by what God has done, what God will do. So the church that rejoices in the Lord being near, verse 4, thinks on the Lord being at hand, practices the implications of that truth, and the peace of God is with them. Okay? But it starts with the gospel. It starts with verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Verse 5, the Lord is at hand. Announcements, news into this. So I think we get verse 8 and 9 out of this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Don't think about how the AC is not working this morning, because it is. It isn't. Verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. That's back to discipleship, right? It's a visible act. You follow Jesus and people see it and you grab them by the shirt and take them with you. What you've heard and seen in me. All these things that you've thought on into verse 9. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. It's a big, massive, wonderful promise. What an invitation this is. Okay, what good news this is. What a great thing to put on the headline. Think about these things and the God of peace will be with you. For Paul to say, as you think about Jesus, right? All those things all point to Jesus. It's the point. As you think about Jesus, as you walk through life in, you know, your mountains, valleys, normal times, Jesus will bring peace with you. Right? That's what he's saying. So it's not a checklist, right? Paul's not listing these things as a checklist of things to do. This is a promise. This is what God promises. The God of peace will be with you. So this is license to go for it. That's what Paul's doing here, right? This is insurance to take, to think big thoughts. This is insurance to take big risks for the gospel, because the insurance, the promise is there's peace at the end of that. You might die, and then, you know, real peace. I mean, seriously, what is the worst thing that could happen? You die. Okay. I think we know about that. We know what happens there. I think our Lord didn't die forever. Resurrected. That's what we get. It's good stuff. So this is license to go for it. So don't settle for non-thinking, okay? Wage war on that. Don't settle and be consumed by sinful thinking. Look up Christ. Instead of that, take the risk. Think about what is true. Think about what is honorable. Think about what's pure, what's lovely, what's commendable, what's excellent. Think about what's worthy of praise. Take these things from Jesus. Get them in your mind. Dream about them. Talk about them. Plan for them, and then verse 9, practice them without fear of what will happen to you. Because the peace of God will be with you. Okay? heaven forbid that we are a church that thinks little thoughts about Jesus and what he would do in Tonkawa. The peace of God is with us if we're thinking on these things and practicing these things. What's the worst that could happen? This is the promise. So if you think about nothing, you'll practice nothing. You'll have no peace. If you think about sin, you'll practice sin. You'll have no peace. But if you think about all that Paul listed, these attributes that flow from Jesus, you are guaranteed peace from God. God goes with the church that takes him up on this. That rejoices because the Lord is at hand and thinks about all these wonderful things about Jesus, and then says, sees the peace of God at the end there and says, oh, I guess we can practice because we're guaranteed this. This is insurance. God goes with the church that takes him up on this. The implications of thinking this way, by thinking about these things, we will practice these things and the peace of God will be with us, guaranteed. So what's true? The gospel, right? Whatever is true. So as we think about it, we practice it, okay? That God loved me, gave himself for me, despite anything that I've done or will do. So if we think about what is true, then we practice that in here. Practice that with each other, loving each other regardless of past performance. And the peace of God is with us, right? Because it is a risk to love someone who's unlovely, right? Sierra, every day, right? I mean you to me, not me. You're the lovely one. Sorry. It's a risk. Well, I mean, can we just talk a little bit about the insanity of church, right? All different kinds of weird, messed up people, but because sinful people, wicked people, but because of the goodness of Lord, that's the banner that we all come under. That's insane. That doesn't make sense outside. What's honorable? Taking the low road to esteem others higher than ourselves. As we think about it, we practice it among ourselves, and the God of peace is with us. What's just? Last week, God doing right on behalf of the oppressed. If we think, okay, high, lofty, seemingly impossible thoughts about God's justice, right? If that's where our mind is, we get really excited about prayer meetings for the orphan, the unborn, the sex slave, and the poor. We get really excited. Like, we're going to ask God to do what only he can do. For thinking on that thing. And then we practice these things by giving our time and money and energy to seeing God set them free. We might lose money, you might lose sleep, but better than those things is God's peace that's guaranteed to those who think and practice this. What's pure, what's lovely, think, practice, God's peace will go with you. What's commendable, right? Selling your possessions, giving up your dreams, taking the gospel where it has not been named into hostile parts of the earth. Right, his mission, the Thomas family that we're supporting this. What's the worst thing that could happen? They might get killed. Okay, we'll see you later. But what's the promise? Thinking on what is commendable, practicing what is commendable, the promise is the peace of God will be with you. Amanda, will you help me, please? What's excellent? What's worthy of praise? Jesus. Only Jesus is excellent. Only Jesus is worthy of praise. And wherever thinking about Jesus leads you in practice, go there. Wherever that is, go there. And go there hard with all your might, for you go with the promise of the peace of God. Right? You're never going to let, never going to let. That's what we're singing this morning. We're going there because he said, I'll be with you. So I get, Christian church, you are indestructible. Okay? The peace of God is guaranteed to go with you. And it might not, probably won't look like how you want it to look. But it's still true. So think, you there's no failure here. Might look like failure, but it's not. The peace of God is there. So think. Think, engage the mind. Think big, glorious, wonderful thoughts about what God might do in your home. right? What God might do in this church, what God might do in this city, what students, what God might do in your school. Don't think little thoughts. You know, Oral Roberts had his issues, but I think he nailed it. He said, make no small plans here. So we ask, why not? Why not think about God filling the churches in town in droves, and we're having to turn people away? Say, hey, you guys have to go plant your own church, because that would be the most wonderful thing. If churches sprung up all over Tonkawa because we couldn't disciple them all. Why not think about that? Why not ask God for the whole school to love and follow Him? Why not assume that your spouse, son, daughter, and friend be saved? Think about these things, practice these things, and the peace of God will go with you. And so our thinking this morning, right, our collective thinking on what God has said in His Word, our thinking this morning leads us into the practice of the Lord's table, right? That's what I want to do every Sunday, is hold Jesus up big and high, and you guys all go, wow, He's wonderful, and then we come to Him. So our thinking this morning leads us into the practice of taking our sins, taking our failures, taking our non-thinking, taking our sinful thinking, and laying them at the feet of Jesus, and then sitting next to Him at His table, right? That it's the potluck that you didn't bring anything to, you couldn't bring anything to, and Jesus said, I provided all of it. So Christian, you can rest this morning in what Christ has done. You need not strive and grit your teeth. Think this morning what Christ has done. Practice it by coming to the table. And I'm promising, because God promised it, I'm promising peace to you. Peace I give to you, peace I leave with you. This is what Jesus is doing at His table. So if I have the elders and deacons come forward, we'll pass it out, and then we'll take it the instruction of an elder.